Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you here with us on a Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. In 2015, the year 2015, when Pope Francis addressed the United Nations, he used the words ideological colonization, which he defined as the imposition of anomalous models and lifestyles which are alien to people's identity and, in the end, irresponsible. When Western countries try to impose on nations in Africa or Asia models of the family or ideas about human sexuality, concepts of individualism that are foreign to those nations, that is ideological colonization. And we devote our first hour today to discussing this new colonialism. Our number, if you'd like to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And our guest this hour is Obianuju Ekeocha, who came to the world's attention in 2012 when she penned an open letter to Melinda Gates about birth control in Africa. Ekeocha is a Nigerian woman living and working in the United States as a specialist biomedical scientist. She's the founder of Culture of Life Africa, and she has a fantastic new book out called Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. Obianuju Ekeocha, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Sai. I'm glad to be here this evening with you. I think you made a little mistake. I live in the UK. I live in the United Kingdom, not the United States.
Oh,
I think you might have said the United States.
I get one mistake a week, so that's the right away. I blew my first mistake.
No problem. At least you didn't mispronounce my name, so that's pretty cool.
Did you see how hard I was working, though, to do that? I was sweating a little bit.
You did well.
Oh, thank you.
You did very well.
So, Obianuju, say I'm a billionaire or I'm the spouse of a billionaire and I want to help out African women by providing them with contraception. What might you advise me?
I would say, please, no. I mean, African women are asking for all sorts of things. I come from Africa, and I was born, raised in Africa, grew to adulthood in Africa. And I know for sure so many women who were in my life and who, you know, influenced me in so many ways, ask for different things, right? And the African women do not hide what they need at any point in time. And contraception, believe me, Sai, is nowhere near the top of that list. People are asking for basic human needs like food, drinking water, which many people, you would be surprised to know that up to 33% of the African populations in various countries don't have access to clean drinking water. People are asking for water, security. Everyone has heard about what is going on with terrorism in some parts of Africa. In my own country, Nigeria, with Boko Haram, all the problems they're having, in the north eastern part of Africa, with Al-Shabaab, we are asking for security. We're asking for education and training to be able to get into the workforce and to be able to do businesses. Those are the kind of things that African women are asking for. They're asking for maternal health care. They're asking for just basic medicines for themselves and for their children. So honestly, contraception is nowhere near the top of the list. It will never be chosen by most of the African women, at least the ones I know or the ones I've heard from.
Well, so you wouldn't – what if I were – I mean, how can I know for sure that African women really know what they want or what they need? Isn't that for me as an American billionaire to decide?
Mm-hmm. Right. This is exactly where the problem comes. This is ideological neocolonialism that we're speaking about, which stems from this same question you've asked. Like, don't we know better than the Africans? That's called paternalism, right, where it's really what is at the root of neocolonialism, where someone comes in and thinks, well, we do know better than you and we should decide for you. But that shouldn't be the case. If the African people are indeed free, you know, we went through colonialism for more than 70 years starting from in the 1800s, the late 1800s, African countries have now become independent. They're supposed to be sovereign. Every time they tell us we are free countries, we are sovereign countries. And yet, when donors come into African nations, a lot of them come in with this attitude that we know what we want for you and we know what is better for you. And that's the attitude that we deplore, and that's the attitude that we're lamenting. That's the attitude of neocolonialism, and we are saying, you know, may they set us free, truly. May we be free, because at this moment, we're not free.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Obianuju Ekeocha is our guest. Her book, Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. You start the book with a little discussion of how you were patriotic as a child. You were born 10 mm-hmm. years after Nigeria became a country. And
20.
Oh, 20 years. Okay. So I tried to make you older
from
than you are. Sorry.
Oh.
the image there is of young people so proud of the independence of their country and so happy and trying so hard in school and in this image that you paint of the Nigeria of your childhood, children and family seem to be central. Like why? Like that? That's the last thing you would want to attack.
Well, absolutely, because anyone who pays attention to world affairs and to the news would know that a lot of the African countries have, at different points in time, had all kinds of, you know, issues that have been worthy of news or worthy of discussion, all kinds of disasters and problems, poverty, famine, you know, inadequacies within our systems in different countries. But the one thing that Africans have is the resilience, which is to be found within their family structure, within their family system. The Africans truly believe, and I think leave it out on a day-to-day basis, just as a matter of necessity, that the family is at the center of society, and the family for them is based strongly on marriage, you know, marriage between man and woman, and within that marriage, protecting the children, and within that same marriage, protecting the elders who are the older generation. So we have this beautiful dynamic of the family that keeps people resilient even through problems, through some of the worst problems you can think about. And that's how I've seen it in various African countries that I've traveled to, and you know, so many people I've spoken to from different countries.
Well, I found it heartbreaking. I don't know if that's how you intended it, but it came across somewhat heartbreaking that you and your friends at school as children and then as teenagers singing in school and all that, it was very important, this song We Are the World that was produced, and I guess the proceeds went to help hungry people. But you would all sing it so proudly and happily. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. And you said you were much older when you realized that those words weren't about you, that you were supposed to be thought of as the poor, helpless African children.
Yes.
Those words were about other people helping you.
Exactly. That's precisely right, Sai. I mean, we were singing this song thinking we're the ones who would go out and make the difference, we're the ones who would go out and raise the world and, you know, just stand shoulder to shoulder with all these wonderful people that we saw on the television singing it, Michael Jackson and all these amazing musicians, American musicians. It was just so beautiful. And But then I grew up only to learn more about that song, and I think other songs have been sung like it as well. The one about Christmas and how it's never Christmas in Africa when there is no snow and there's no Christmas. But we've heard these kinds of music where, you know, it has a beautiful tune. The musicians are amazing and it catches, right? It catches in society and many people are singing it. But then you forget about the people who you're singing it about, that it's not sometimes not necessarily what, the impression the music is trying to relay or bring across is not usually the situation. It might not be everyone's situation. So as we sang this just growing up in Africa, in Nigeria particularly, we didn't realize that the song was kind of about us. You know, this was at a time when there was famine, not in my country, but in another part of Africa. But however, the people singing it were thinking of little children like us, you know, they were coming to help us. So, but in this way, I think there is a larger truth in this, you know, in the phenomenon of what happened with that song. And that's why I've actually put it near the beginning of the book, really. It's that a lot of times the Africans have been put in this position where we are the ones who are always being helped, and no one really expects us to rise and do anything at all for ourselves, let alone other people in the world, right? So we're still not being seen as fully equal. You know, I know that this is, you know, might annoy someone, but it's the truth, unfortunately, that African nations have been put on a kind of life support, which just goes on and on and on and on, right? And it's the very, we have the lowest expectation for African nations, and I think it's paralyzed and crippled us in many ways.
Well, I want to ask you kind of a sensitive question before we take a break, and then we'll go to people's calls. And if you'd like to talk with Obi Anuju Ekeocha, just give us a call at 888-318-7884. So how much of this, I guess we have this colonialism, real colonialism, where they divided up Africa among European nations. And then we have this new kind of colonialism, which the Pope calls ideological and you call ideological, where it's supposed to be Western ideas will kind of conquer Africa now, not Western armies. But how much in the African, in the mind of an African leader or an African elected official, is this kind of sense of, well, the white people or the Western people, they really do have the answers? I mean, how much is that internalized and a kind of maybe that creates a fear of standing up and saying, no, that's not what we want in Africa?
Yeah, so many people know it, right? A lot of the you know, the Africans themselves do realize that there is a difference. There is something happening. But many times you see, Sai, the people who make decisions in African nations are at the top. You know, they are what you might in your own country call the 1%, right? Yeah. You know, when people speak of the 1% in Western world, it's usually like the wealthy ones. But in African nations, I'll say the 1% are also, in addition to being the wealthiest ones, they're also the ruling class, right? It's the same, the one and the same people. And they're the ones making the decisions, and they are the ones who are in direct contact with the Western donors, with the Western world. They're the ones who, for example, go for parties with some of these Western foundations, for example, the you know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or the Clinton Foundation. These are the African leaders who come to New York to attend a party being thrown by Bill Clinton. You know, some of our leaders went for Bill Clinton's 70th birthday party. They are, you know, the ones in constant contact, but they have this, they have taken on this attitude, and I called it in my book aid addiction. They now have a kind of addiction to the aid that they get from the donors, but also to the relationship that they have with these millionaires and billionaires from the Western world. So it's what we're suffering from, because they're completely also removed from the rest of the people. It's the 1% in Africa don't have dealings with the rest of the 99%. It's really hard to get across to them. But they're the ones who have taken on this attitude, and they're the ones who have, I think, kept us in a position where somebody can then hook us up to the ventilators that we sometimes don't necessarily need.
Right.
They've kept us completely inactive just by hooking us up to whatever it is that they're giving.
It's striking to me in reading the book Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century, how often the values of the regular African person, man or woman, seem to be upheld in the Catholic Church and attacked by modern Western secularism. I want to talk about some of those when we get back. Like it seems to me and you'll have to tell me if I'm wrong, the average African person would be closer to the Catholic Church on population control, sexualization of young people, radical feminism, abortion, all the different sexual identities being kind of bandied about now as protected groups. We do have to take a break, but we'll be back with Obianuju Ekeocha to talk a bit more about how Africa is in the target sites of Western secularism right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Two fantastic hours today. Second hour, we're going to talk about a new movement, Men Rise Up, with Bill Donahue. He's going to be here to talk about that, about men taking their role as men in fully embracing the Catholic faith and fully living that out for the good of themselves and their families and their communities and, well, everything that Jesus promised us. When we live it out, all kinds of goods follow. This hour, we're talking with Obianuju Ekeocha, who is a Nigerian woman now living in the United Kingdom. But she has a brand new book, Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. Obianuju, we do have a bunch of calls, but I wanted to ask you, I wanted to get to individual issues, but there's a lot of calls and I don't want to hold people off. Let me just phrase it to you this way. I think we in the West think we're very smart about sexual issues. We've had a sexual revolution. You probably have heard of it that, swept the world in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And now we live in this new world. And it's not just a new world, but it's a new world that has to constantly have new things in it. We got to constantly have a new revolution that we're fighting for and a new, oppressed minority of this sort or that. How's the sexual revolution playing in Africa? Do you think it? Do people want it? And does it forebode well or ill for Africa?
Yeah, simply put, people don't want it, right? So the sexual revolution and everything within it. For example, let me just start with something like feminism. In most of the African countries, how we see feminism is really not how the people from the sexual revolution have defined feminism. It's not the feminism of Gloria Steinem. We talk about motherhood, of maternity, of how women just enjoy being wives and daughters and sisters. That is quite empowering for the African woman in so many ways, our identity as women. And it doesn't stop African women, by the way, from seeking education, seeking promotions within their career or advancement within their different careers and different fields. But it's just this feminism or just femininity that loves men, you know, that appreciates also the masculine. But no, we reject the sexual revolution for everything it stands for. Abortion is something that has been over and over again rejected in so many African countries. Only 4 African countries, by the way, have legal abortion. And the remaining 50 countries continue to fight against abortion in so many ways. There are countries that have allowed abortion for different exceptions, but it is only legal, fully legal, what you call abortion on demand. You have it in 4 countries. So about 80% of the African countries are still having all kinds of prohibitions and restrictions to abortion. And the population, the general masses of the people are in support of these prohibitions against abortion. So no, the African people reject it because we have cultural, kinds of cultural views and values that are directly opposed to everything that is within the sexual revolution.
You know, I don't want to sound hopeless in any way, but we have seen in the Western world, country after country, and in our own country, the United States, state after state, kind of year after year, get worn down, I guess, by the advocates of the sexual revolution. And even we see in a country such as Ireland, that was once such a Catholic place. And certainly there are special circumstances in Ireland, but now having its own abortion debate. Do you think there's strength enough in Africa to resist this, or do you have a more fatalistic view of it?
I can only pray and hope that, something like how you have the church in Africa is very strong. I mean, we have bishops who are solid, and the bishops are also very well respected within the society, right? Unlike most parts of the West, our bishops, when they speak, the government usually listens. We've had bishops intervene, other religious leaders as well intervene when an abortion law is about to be passed or something, or an abortion bill is about to be passed. Our bishops are always listened to. So I'm very hopeful that this strength within the people, be it from their cultural and traditional leaders, but most especially from their religious leaders, that the African religious movement, which is a very powerful movement, by the way, would rise up and oppose these things and just keep being an obstacle to it. But the problem that we are having, the biggest problem we're having now, it's not the fringe or the handful of people who are pushing for these values that are against African cultures. It's the Western money coming in and bringing these things with it. You know, it's the international Planned Parenthood federations who are coming into African nations and then paying for lobbying of the African politicians. Those are the problems. But I'm still hopeful that the church would rise and the other religious as well would rise and the people would stand strong.
Obinuju Eke Ocha is our guest. Target Africa is the book. Lots of people want to talk with you. The number, by the way, if you would like to talk with Obinuju Eke Ocha, 888-318-7884. Shall we go to calls?
Sure.
All right. Aisha in Houston, Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. You are on with Obinuju Eke Ocha. Your question, please.
Hi, good evening. Hi, Obiamaju. My name is Aisha.
Hi, Aisha.
I'm calling first of all to say congratulations on your book, and I thank you for the show, for speaking up as well for Africa and for all these women and family values. And I just want to thank EWTN as well, because I saw you first on EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pakwa. And I just would like to support you and to know, how can we support you? Do you have an organization that we can, in real terms, I know you're unafraid, and that's what attracts me to this whole thing. And is there a movement, and how we can, in real sense, support you?
Sure. So thank you so much, Aisha. I'm really grateful. I run an organization called Culture of Life Africa. You can see more about my organization on cultureoflifeafrica.com. But you can read the book. I just would love people to be more informed. So Target Africa is very, it was published by Ignatius Press, and it's also on Amazon, very easy for people to find, because I believe when people are well informed, they will go all out fighting, right? Especially the African people who are in diaspora. And I'm hoping that Africans, you know, in the West would rise and see what is being done to our people, what kind of injustice being meted out on a lot of the African villages and the African people, especially people in more rural areas who cannot fight or speak up for themselves. So if you can read the book, be informed, and then for people in Western countries like America, United Kingdom, you know, countries like France, Germany, these countries are in so many ways, they are the main donors to these African countries as far as governments are concerned. There are various ways to approach your legislators to find out, you know, what, for example, the United States Agency for International Development, what are they funding in Africa? Because those are the ones that do a lot of damage, those who put in millions and even sometimes just billions of dollars into providing, you know, all kinds of dangerous contraceptives in parts of Africa where women don't even have access, you know, to hospitals should they have side effects and things like that. So I think that those are the kind of things that are practical and one can do, obviously, immediately, just to start speaking out, get informed. And yeah, you can support my organization, cultureblackafrica.com, if you want.
Aisha, there's the music, so we got to take a quick break. Thank you so much for that call. cultureoflifeafrica.com is Obi Anuju's organization. Target Africa is the book. We will be back with more of your calls for Obi Anuju Ekeocha after this. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back with more. Catholic Answers Live.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
If only evangelization was easy. But the truth of the matter is that most of the time, it's not. Talking about the Catholic faith is enough of a challenge even before dealing with the roadblocks that keep people from listening with an open mind. Apologist Carlo Broussard recognized that as he wrote Prepare the Way, a guide to step-by-step strategies that readers can use to break down those barriers, barriers to the very existence of God and religious truth, barriers to basic Christian beliefs, and barriers to the distinctive teachings and claims of the Catholic Church. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Learn how to overcome them. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN, with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly viewing, and we'll see you on the airwaves. Welcome back. Cy Kellett, Catholic Answers Live, having more fun than I should be allowed to have, getting to speak with Obi Anuju Ekeocha and getting to say Obi Anuju Ekeocha over and over again. That's a lot of fun for me. Her book is Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. It's from Ignatius Press. It's got a foreword by Robert George, who you will know as a very prominent scholar and pro-life activist here in the United States. She is the founder of Culture of Life Africa, which you can find at cultureoflifeafrica.com. And when we talk about ideological neocolonialism, it's a phrase that the Pope stole from Obi Anuju. She and okay, maybe that's not how it went.
That's not true.
But it is a phrase that he has been very helpful in using and in reminding the world, look, just because you give money doesn't mean you get to tell people that they have to have legalized abortion or that they have to push contraception on people.
Yeah. So this is, I'm grateful. I'm grateful the Holy Father has brought this to our attention. And I mean, I think it's been happening for so many years, but we just didn't have this term. But ever since he has spoken about it over and over again, then we're courageous enough to just go after him. Two years ago, I spoke at the United Nations on this particular theme. And then last month, I spoke at the United Nations on this particular theme again, and I was speaking on behalf of the Vatican or on the Vatican panel, so that was great. But it's just to be able to stand on the shoulder, if I can say that, of the Holy Father, and just keep telling the world, the African people do not want these things that you're bringing to us.
You know, his use of that phrase reminds me of Pope John Paul II when he over and over again used the phrase "culture of life," and it changed the way people think about it. We're not just anti-abortion. We're not just, you know, we want a culture of life. I think sometimes a simple phrase like that can really, it makes a difference in how people understand, oh, I have a clarity now of what we're fighting for and what we're fighting about.
Yes. Indeed.
888-318-7884, the number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you would like to talk with Obi Anuju. And I wanted to also ask you something about your depiction of women in Nigeria, and I won't try to speak for all of Africa, but Nigeria is the country that you were raised in, and and in where you were raised, were you raised in a more urban or more rural setting? Where did you grow up?
I was raised in a very small city, but we also were about 40 miles away from my ancestral home. So we would go back home, back to our ancestral home where my grandmother lives, many times a year. And that's the rural, you know, that's really a village.
I see. So, but you describe that when a baby would be born to one of the women in your neighborhood or wherever you were, there would be...
Yes.
Literally singing and dancing. Like people would actually, there was dances, there were songs that you sang, it was a celebration, but it was a celebration that everybody knew what you're supposed to sing and how you're supposed to dance, and it was joyful when a baby would come.
Yeah, and this is my ancestral home. So we would, you know, go back home to my village when a baby is born, because in my family we've had so many children born, but with every birth, and not just within my family, but anyone within our kindred, what we would call our kindred and our little clan, if a baby is born, everyone comes out, everyone dances, we have special chants, we have, you know, special songs that we sing, but it's all praising God in our language. We're praising and thanking God for this baby that has been born. And it doesn't matter whether it's a baby born to a poor couple or a rich couple, whatever the circumstance of birth, no one is asking at that point, you know, who is this baby or where is the baby born? No, we just celebrate this life that God has given. And in the words, just reflecting the generosity of God to give us a brand new life, you know, another opportunity, a hope for the future. So we have that, and it's still ongoing that any baby that is born, a message is sent even now that we all, you know, myself, I live here in the UK and some of my siblings live in London. If a baby is born, a message is still sent to my ancestral home, believe it or not. Even when the baby is not there, the baby's in London, there's people dancing about the birth of this baby and the motherhood that has just happened.
It's striking that that's such I know that people think that their feminism, when it's kind of fertility feminism, is empowering women. But the fact is, women, I mean, the power of motherhood is this great good. And when it's celebrated, then that woman is upheld. She's not being oppressed by being a mother. She's it's striking how different that seems to me from where we are now in America, where it's almost like, pregnancy.
Yeah,
it's feared. Mm-hmm. I think fertility brings a certain fear to people.
It's very unfortunate because I have seen it as well, just living in the UK here, and I've only been here now 12 years. And it's one of the things that you know, one of the, I'd say, cultural shocks that I got when I came here is that it's so different from the way that we take fertility and the way that we take motherhood in marriage. When a woman gets pregnant, usually people are rejoicing, people are happy. And the opposite is always the case when there is infertility, or where, you know, even for something like a secondary infertility, so maybe a woman has two children and she's trying to get pregnant again and she can't. There is so much stress and so much, you know, so much sadness. But once a woman gives birth, or once a woman gets pregnant, so much joy. And I believe that there's something naturally good to it, that this is the nature of women, right? We have been created to give birth. We have been created to nurture life within us and then, you know, deliver babies, right?
Yeah.
This is how God made us. And so there has to be something powerful that within this culture, even predating us, you know, our Christianity, predating it, that there is a recognition that indeed we, you know, as a woman, you have, God has given you like a special mission or this special gift by allowing you to be a mother, and we celebrate it all the time. That blessing comes.
Obianuju Ekeocha is our guest, and I do want to recommend to the reader, first of all, I want to highly recommend Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. But I want to, if you want a short read, a real quick read, put in there, just type into your web browser, open letter to Melinda Gates, and you will find Obianuju's open letter in 2012 to Melinda Gates, because Melinda Gates, in order to help African women, decided that she was going to raise $5 billion to provide and encourage contraception in Africa. Obianuju, I saw you on the BBC discussing this with a woman. Well, you were discussing it. She was more or less yelling, but you were discussing this idea with her. And her take was that, well, you were saying, well, women want clean water. They want food for their children. They want education. And her take was, well, they can have that if they would just use contraception and have fewer children. So that struck me as, wow, the problem in Africa is there's too many Africans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but they would never accept that's what the interpretation, that the natural interpretation that should come with how they state it. But, you know, birth control is what African women need. Even when you tell them, no, let them get educated first. I think myself, I believe so much in education. Let women get educated. Let them be able to even read the inserts of the IUDs that you're giving them.
Yeah.
Let them be able to understand what it means, you know, what side effects actually means. But you cannot just go to someone who has not been educated, who has absolutely, you know, no way of understanding some of these things, and you tell them this is what you need. No, they need a lot more than that. They need completely different things than that in order to be able to come out of poverty. But this is how they talk to us. This is how they treat us in media. And I saw that during that particular BBC interview. But it still continues at the United Nations. The woman was only regurgitating the same talking points that we hear at the UN. The same talking points that we have heard from people like the Gates and, you know, people like the Clintons, who are pushing very hard for family planning in different African countries. So it's a talking point. And yeah, our job is to completely neutralize that and to completely expose that for the lie that it is.
Amen to that. Amen. Kathleen in Southwest Illinois is on the line. She's listening on 91.9 FM Covenant Radio. Kathleen, your question for Obianuju.
Well, you just led into it, because I was just going to ask about that, because, you know, some of these foundations are doing some really good work in some ways, like with, you know, the Gates Foundation, like with their polio and trying to eradicate the world of polio. That's great, but they seem not to, you know, be respecting the cultural differences on these life issues. And so that was my question, is how does the conversation go? But when you talk to them about that, but also, you know, if when you share with them some facts, because some people seem to be under the mistaken impression that our world is overpopulated, and really it's sure, quite the opposite. So I'm curious how it goes when you share some facts with them.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. This is excellent, and I love this because it's always good, especially if we're coming from a Catholic perspective, right, that we show some goodwill, right? It's not as if I'm just after the gates for no reason. We do know of their good works. We do know of all the wonderful foundations they lay in Africa before 2012, when this contraception, massive contraception program started. The gates, and that's why they were able to move this contraception agenda so fast within a very short space of time, because they had a lot of goodwill already in Africa for all the things that they had done. But the gates came with what, everything that they came with, their family planning projects, their own ideas, their own ideals, not only without consulting the African people, but they had done some research. There were some peer-reviewed research that had read articles that Gates went in, did experiments in different parts of Africa on the injectable contraception, and they found out that it was going to be dangerous and it was going to increase the susceptibility to HIV. They still went ahead and did the project. So then you question the goodwill. Whether I've tried to reach them, yes, they hear me speaking all the time. I mean, these people are very powerful. And I speak in different African countries sometimes. It's in some of the national news. And yes, the Gates Foundation have people, enough people working for them in Africa that they monitor who's speaking for or against them or against their work, and they do know of me, but they've never given me audience. They've never given me a chance to speak to them. I don't know if anyone has any direct connections. I would love to sit down with people like the Gates and other people who have also done other things, who are doing other good things in African countries. It would be wonderful to sit with them and show them the problems when they bring in these things that are directly opposed to our way of life. What happens to women when they have side effects in Africa, because we've traced some of that. What happens to women when, for example, they have abortions in countries where abortion is not even legal? What happens? Because there are all these Western countries who come in and they're moving their agenda. Sometimes they are also allegedly performing illegal abortions in African countries, even though they are Western countries and they're supposed to be obeying, you know, the laws of the countries. But we've tracked different things to different parts of Africa, especially the rural areas. I'd love to share some of these things with them, some of our findings, to show that with the culture of the people, that, you know, these are things that we have inherited from generations and generations, and that these have been things that have been good for us. They've been good to, you know, help to galvanize our communities, to help to set us in firmer family points. But then they come in with their own values that would go against all of that. If you bring in contraception, what happens to marriages? What happens to women within their homes? So I would love to discuss it, but no one has given me a chance as of yet. I have worked with different government officials, but just not anybody anybody who is presently funding any of these things.
Okay, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.
Kathleen, yeah. I have to say, I really appreciate that your point about the population, control agenda and all that, and that the way you phrased it about that there are some people who still believe in this, because it is the population stuff is nonsense, always was, but I just don't think enough people have gotten the message. And I will let you know that in Obianuju Ekeocha's brand new book, Target Africa, Chapter 1 is population control, population explosion alarmism. So I will commend the book to you, Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century. We have to take a quick break. So thanks, Kathleen, for the call. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Obianuju right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Baer, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is a media ministry that serves Christ by explaining and defending the Catholic faith. We help Catholics grow in their faith, we bring former Catholics home, and we lead non-Catholics into the fullness of the truth. Our goal is to be the most trusted and accessible source for sharing, explaining, and defending the Catholic faith through as many media as possible, from personal contact to the most innovative means of mass communication. Have questions? We've got answers. Catholic Answers. Visit us today at Catholic.com or call us with your questions at 619-387-7200.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We live in an age of indifference. Does truth exist? Maybe. Is there a God? Who knows? Does it matter what religion you believe in? Probably not. If you think so, fine. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Apologist Matt Nelson says this indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates our culture. And rather than remain indifferent, he did something about it. In his new book, Just Whatever, Matt looks at the different kinds of indifference you likely encounter in your friends and family members, and maybe in yourself, and offers an antidote to the problem that plagues our age. Order your copy of Just Whatever today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. In this hour, we are joined by Obi Anuju Ekeocha, the author of a brand new wonderful book about how Western culture and Western countries, Western institutions, including Western governments, impose on Africa, or at least are doing their very best to try to impose on Africa, all kinds of things that do not connect with the values of the people of Africa, the 54 different countries of Africa. Certainly the kind of anti-fertility views of the Western society are foreign to African women, African family, African men as well. But those are being pushed. Other things being pushed are, well, all the different aspects of the sexual revolution. I suppose there's this idea that, well, it's been so successful to us, we should share this gift with everyone because we've got divorce and everywhere, and we've got all kinds of, you know, we've kind of broken our society. So it's definitely going to be good for you, Africa. That's an unfortunate state of things, but it does seem to me that it's just that ironic that where people are happy to welcome children and to keep their families together and to even in very difficult circumstances to celebrate and be joyful, and where we're depressed and addicted and suffering, but we want to sell you on what we've got.
Yeah, and it's the thing that you have that doesn't really work. You see, there are so many beautiful things in Western culture, and I always like to point that out. There's so many beautiful things in your culture and so many beautiful things that have come from the West, and all of us around the world are enjoying that. But why is it that people pushing these things, some of these donors are coming in and they're trying to push on us the worst elements, you know, within the Western culture? Why are you trying to push on us the exact same pathway that has led to women, not liking marriage, women being, you know, completely against men, or women not accepting motherhood or not liking motherhood, or things like abortion that has caused women so much hurt and pain over the years? Why are they pushing these things on us? Hypersexualization of children that has led to so much STIs on the increase all the time. Anytime that CDC, the Center for Disease Control, whenever they bring out a report, it's always very high, very high numbers of this, that, and the other in terms of sexually transmitted infections, sexually transmitted diseases. Why do they want then to bring us the same things in Africa when we are suffering already and overburdened by, poverty and so many inadequacies within our own systems and so many problems within our own, the realm of our own governments? We want the good things, not the bad.
I wonder how much of the do-gooder mentality here in the West is connected with the fact that Western media is addicted to just sharing bad news about Africa. I mean, if you just followed just pick ABC News or something, for example, or CNN or whoever, and said, well, what's Africa like? Just watch a year of their coverage. You would think Africa is just the most horrible thing that ever happened. Nothing good ever happens there.
It's very unfortunate. Yeah, they cover the worst of us and the most important things within African cultures, within African customs, they do not reflect it one single bit. So that's it. We are hoping that, that people one day would start telling our stories. In fact, that was one of the reasons why I had to write the book, because it just felt like no one is talking about us in the way they should. No one is going deep into the African culture, African traditions, to pick out what is, you know, the beautiful treasures that we have, how we see marriage, for example, how we see children as gifts, how, you know, women and men see each other within marriages. Those are beautiful things, and those are treasures that I think the Africans have and we can share with the world at a point in time like this. So, but they don't cover us that way, the media, the Western media, they don't.
Really? Because usually the Western media is so good. They're so unbiased. And I'm so sorry. Beg your pardon. I do want people to know that you are super active on Twitter. And I'm going to calls. Don't worry, callers. I'm coming to you. That you're super active on Twitter. And people can get you at Obianuju. And that's at Obianuju. Am I correct? Did I get it right?
Excellent.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. I got high grades. And also, they can find out all about the work that you do at cultureoflifeafrica.com. Cultureoflifeafrica.com. Let's take a call. Let's go to Paul in St. Louis, listening on Covenant Radio. Paul, thank you for your call. Your question for Obianuju.
Do you think we will get an African pope someday? Do you think Cardinal Seurat might be a candidate? Or are there others?
Paul, thank you so much for asking the question. I get this question, you can't imagine, maybe about 4 or 5 times a day.
Do you really?
Day of the year. No, I'm just kidding. But a lot of people have asked me this question, and yes, a lot of people ask me this question because of Cardinal Seurat. Here is my answer. We belong to a universal church. Before I came to the West, all I knew was just my country, but the one thing that really connected me to people in other parts of the world was the fact that I was a part of the Catholic Church. And we believe so much in the universality of the church. It doesn't matter whether you're in Nigeria, whether you're in Cameroon, whether you are in Canada, your bishop is a bishop, you know, a cardinal is a cardinal, the pope is our pope for everyone. So it's a beautiful universal church that, you know, it doesn't matter where a pope comes from. I believe that our pope can come from anywhere that God wants. At least we know for sure that our pope cannot always be like an Italian pope, you know, as we saw from John Paul, what happened with Pope John Paul II. Our pope can come from any part of the world, but the beauty of the church, of the universal church, is that whoever is the pope, you know, we believe so much in the influence of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. I love being part of the church, which is so universal that I know at any point in time our pope can come from any part of the world. Our pope can even come from Africa or any other part of the world.
Okay, Paul? Sorry, Paul dropped. I guess he was so enamored of it.
Right.
So you're saying yes, we're definitely. Oh, wait a second. That was. I love that. I mean, I'm so glad you remind us. Look, it's a universal church. Doesn't matter if the pope. I mean, we could even have a pope from, I don't know, San Diego someday. It would be just fine. The world would survive it. But
it's a universal church.
Right. But it does seem like the law of averages. At some point, we're going to get an African pope here coming along, right? We got lots and lots of Catholic people in Africa. We also have
200 million of us.
How many Catholics?
200 million Catholics. 200 million Catholics in Africa. So
what?
I think about a whole fifth of Africa is Catholic, and our Catholic Church is only about 100 years old, so just a little bit over. So we are a thriving church. We're a young and thriving church.
That is so exciting to hear. I didn't know it was 200 million. Wow.
Sure.
That boy, I don't know. That's more than half the population in the United States. We're not even close to that here. 200 million Catholics in Africa across 50. Well, your country, Nigeria, is split. Well, I shouldn't say split. That's not the right word. But it's percentage wise, there are roughly equal numbers of Muslims and Catholics. Is that correct?
And Christians. But then about half of the Christians are Catholics, you see.
I see.
So it's, yeah, so we have about half of our country is Muslim, the people in the, mostly the tribes in the north, the Hausas. But then in the south, we have the Christians. So we kind of have the Muslim, not the Christian south, roughly, right? But a lot of Catholics. But one thing you need to realize is the Catholic Church in Nigeria and other parts of Africa have, you know, kind of put themselves in this position where they're serving community and they're serving society. We have a lot of, most of the schools, you know, a lot of the private schools, the Catholic schools, a lot of the hospitals are Catholic hospitals, and we are serving communities in such a way that I know places where Muslims even send their children to Catholic schools, even though they know their children are going to come up with a lot of Catholic values. So it's always kind of beautiful to see that a lot of Muslim children in some parts of Nigeria go to Catholic schools, because those are simply the best schools. Your children come out with the values, they come out with everything, fully formed human beings. So we do have that kind of influence. And also we've worked with different Muslims, Muslim leaders at different points in time when we've been fighting over things like abortion. Then the Muslims become very strong allies, because they are in so many ways against abortion, against contraception. So when things come up, say, within parliament or within other parts of legislature, they're very active and they're always very ready to join hands with us and fight things like that.
Well, thank you so much, Obi Anuju Ekeocha, for a wonderful, wonderful hour. Really, it went so fast. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Target Africa, Ideological Neocolonialism in the 21st Century is the book. You can get it from Ignatius Press, and I highly recommend that you do. If you really want to understand what's going on in the world today, Obi Anuju Ekeocha is one of the people you should know. We'll be right back after this with more Catholic Answers Live.